12 o'clock Binion News, the service of Binion Optometrists. While much of the allied world is already celebrating VE Day, the official announcement that the war in Europe has ended will not be made until tomorrow. The British Ministry of Information announced less than an hour and a half ago that tomorrow will be VE Day. Just an hour ago, President Truman announced in Washington that he has agreed with London and Moscow to make no announcement on the final surrender of Germany until a simultaneous announcement can be made by the three Allied governments. The British Ministry of Information said that Prime Minister Winston Churchill would broadcast at 3 p.m. British time. That's 6 a.m. Pacific wartime. King George will speak to the British people at 9 p.m. British time, which is 12 noon Pacific wartime. Earlier, CBS correspondent Edward Murrow in London said that President Truman and Prime Minister Churchill were ready to announce the official news of the German surrender at 9 a.m. today, but he said that they were delayed because Premier Stalin, scheduled to speak at the same time, was not ready. In Washington, arrangements have been made for President Truman to go on the air whenever he is ready to issue a VE Day proclamation. Broadcasting equipment has been made ready in the White House diplomatic room, from which presidential broadcasts are usually made. On Capitol Hill, radio receiving equipment has been set up in the House of Representatives so that representatives can remain in their seats when Mr. Truman makes his VE declaration. The first Associated Press flash from Reims in France saying that Germany had surrendered was followed 2 hours later by a broadcast by ABSI, the American broadcasting station in Europe. Supreme Headquarters, in the meantime, had issued a statement not denying the truth of the AP flash, but saying that no official announcement had been authorized. The broadcast by ABSI, however, called it official. The government-operated station gave the same details that AP Western European Chief Edward Kennedy had sent earlier from Reims. Later, Supreme Headquarters announced that it had not made any official statement concerning the surrender, but did not deny the truth of Kennedy's story. It said Lieutenant General Walter Smith signed on behalf of General Eisenhower, and two representatives of the German General Staff had accepted the terms of unconditional surrender. Like Kennedy, ABSI said that representatives of Russia and France also signed the document, agreed to by the new German Army Chief of Staff, Colonel General Gustav Jodl. Kennedy's dramatic account told how the surrender was signed in the Reims schoolhouse. Lieutenant General Walter Smith signed as representative of General Eisenhower. The document was signed by General Ivan Suchloperov for Russia and by General François Sivez for France. After giving these details, ABSI appealed to the people of liberated Europe to think today of the Americans who lie beside their own men on the battlefield. Think of these Americans as being your dead too, said ABSI. You who were enslaved are free, and the men who belong to Kansas and New York and Mississippi will not turn homeward, but eastward to the last battleground in Asia. So far, the Associated Press is the only news service to carry the story from Reims telling of the final German surrender. Neither the United Press nor INS has carried the story. How the AP managed to get the story through censorship is not known. Meanwhile, Supreme Allied Headquarters announced that the filing facilities of the Associated Press have been suspended throughout the entire European theater of operations. Earlier, an announcement was made stating that the AP's filing privileges at Supreme Allied Headquarters had been suspended. AP Headquarters in New York did not comment on the announcement. News of the final German surrender set off mass celebrations in scores of cities throughout the Allied world. In London, thousands of American soldiers cheered and embraced each other in a manner reminiscent of triumphant football crowds. A sign was posted at the biggest Red Cross Club in London informing American Army personnel that upon official notice of VE Day, all passes and furloughs are to be extended 48 hours. Throughout the United States, America has greeted the news with shouts of jubilation and quiet prayers of thanks. New York's famous Times Square has been roped off and all vehicular traffic was stopped in the financial district. Thousands left their offices to parade on the streets with flags and banners. Meanwhile, there are reports that fighting is still in progress on the European continent. Czechoslovakian sources in London say it's possible that tank vanguards of the American Third Army have entered Prague. At the last unofficial report, the Third Army was within 12 and a half miles of the Czech capital. The Swedish home radio service said that an Allied naval force of 48 ships has been sighted at the entrance to Oslo Fjord and that a landing on Norwegian soil is expected at any moment. Marshal Stalin announced in an order of the day that Russian troops have captured Breslau. Another war criminal has been captured, and another Allied hero has been liberated. Allied troops have found Anton Musefft, the leader of the Dutch Nazi Party, at his headquarters in Utrecht, Holland. Musefft, one of Holland's most hated traitors, is believed to be in good health. At the same time, it's disclosed that the former Premier of Austria, Kurt Schuschnigg, has been liberated from a German concentration camp. In newly surrendered Denmark, Danish patriots have arrested 2,500 collaborators in their first 2 days of search. Sporadic shooting still is going on in the streets of Copenhagen. Elsewhere on the European news front, Spain severed diplomatic relations with Germany. The official announcement was made only 24 hours after Portugal's break with the beaten Nazi government. The unofficial announcement of the long-anticipated surrender of Germany was received calmly among the Navy, Army, and Marine forces in the Pacific. Men on the midnight watch aboard ships were the first to hear the report of Grand Armor Karl Dönitz's capitulation, but the news in many cases was broadcast immediately over ship and shore station loudspeakers shortly after midnight. Headquarters spokesman, however, declined to make a statement on reports of the unconditional surrender until official announcement had been made in Washington. Admiral Nimitz recently pointed out at Okinawa that the Pacific forces will welcome the help of United States airmen employed in Europe. All Pacific fighting men, admittedly, will greet the German conquerors with open arms. None, however, anticipates an immediate turn of events in the Pacific. They know it will require months to shift Yank power across the Atlantic. Australian forces on Tarakan Island have a big cleanup job on their hands on that tiny island just off oil-rich Borneo. At Tarakan City, the retreating Japs left behind an elaborate network of heavily defended tunnels. In one dugout, the Aussies found enough shells, booby traps, and landmines to blow up an entire mountain ridge. Bomb disposal squads effectively neutralized the position. Japan's airdromes and shipping in waters near the enemy's homeland were targets for a two-phased air assault which achieved what were described as good results. One phase of the attacks was a strike by naval planes which destroyed or damaged 20 Japanese surface vessels in historic Tsushima and Korea Straits, as well as off the west coast of Korea. More news in just a moment from the home front. The value of family heirlooms may increase with the years, but the same thing doesn't hold true of the glasses you wear. Very often your eyes need change so much during a long interval that your glasses not only don't give you the satisfaction they should, but may even cause considerable discomfort, and so become of little or no value to you. If you've been wearing the same glasses for some time, you may need a new pair. Binion optometrists invite you to stop in for an eye check at your earliest convenience. Highly trained, registered optometrists will be glad to examine your eyes and will do it thoroughly and scientifically. Binion optometrists are famous for dependable optical service and high-quality Binion glasses. None finer anywhere. On the domestic news front in Washington, the United States Supreme Court ruled that the federal wage hour law requires soft coal miners to be paid portal-to-portal travel time wages. The High Court issued its ruling in a 5-4 decision in the case of the Jewel Ridge Coal Corporation, operator of two bituminous mines in southwestern Virginia. The firm had appealed from a decision of the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, which decreed that coal miners must be paid portal-to-portal wages. At the White House, President Truman broke his usual custom of taking a brisk walk to his temporary residence, Blair House, for lunch. The president remained in his White House office and apparently had lunch at his desk. Former war mobilizer James Burns is scheduled to visit the White House today for the first time since shortly after President Truman took office. Burns had been at his home in South Carolina since his initial talk with the president. War Manpower Commission officials predicted that the end of the war in Europe will mean that the 48-hour work week will be suspended in areas where the labor market has loosened up. They say VE Day probably also will mean that controls will be lifted on workers who are frozen on their present jobs. President Truman assured the governors of all the states that he wants to cooperate with them as much as possible during his administration. The president's desire to cooperate was expressed in a letter to the governors from Mr. Truman's new chief administrative assistant, Edward McKim. Effective today, the OPA is banning retail sales of all unpackaged cigarettes. This forbids the sale of loose cigarettes at one penny each, a custom which the OPA says resulted in unnecessarily high prices. At Camp Edwards, Massachusetts, military discipline has caught up with a young WAC who overstayed her honeymoon leave after marrying a prison convict. Private Mary Bailey is confined to quarters. The bridegroom, John Bailey, also has his troubles. On leave from Arkansas Penitentiary so he could marry, Bailey was unable to find a room, so he's staying at the home of a policeman's mother near Camp Edwards. Here in the Pacific Northwest, Colonel Elmer Wooten, Oregon draft director, said that victory in Europe will have no effect on draft procedure in Oregon, where about 600 men are being inducted each month. Virtually all men now being drafted in the state are from 18 to 30 and not engaged in essential industry, Wooten said after his return from a Washington conference. He disclosed that because of the high rejection rate, about 1,200 men a month are being called for examination. Essential farmers for whom no replacements can be found still are being deferred, whatever their age. Officials of the Portland Retail Trade Bureau announced that its member stores will not close for VE Day until the official proclamation is made. Similar announcement was made by the independent food stores. School officials said that the city's schools would not close even after the proclamation is received. Instead, the school children will attend special VE Day programs in Portland schools. Nampa, Idaho has already had its VE Day celebration. The Western Idaho Railroad Center held religious services Sunday, at which the pastor of the Christian Church, the Reverend Lester Jones, declared, "Winning the peace will be a bigger job than winning the war." The chairman of the observance, Harold Jones, explained that citizens decided to get the celebration over with because they expect to continue their regular duties when the victory announcement comes. Back in Portland, a civilian pilot, David Hale Huntley, 28, of Spokane, was fatally injured this morning when his plane crashed east on a flight from Eugene to Troutdale. Huntley suffered a fractured skull, compound leg fracture, and internal injuries and died on the way to a hospital. He was an employee of the Portland-Seattle Auto Freight Company working from Seattle. The sheriff's office at Lakeview, Oregon, is investigating an explosion which late Saturday killed a woman and five children some 15 miles east of Bly, which is on the highway between Lakeview and Klamath Falls. Two Ohio soldiers and their wives drowned Sunday in Liberty Lake near Spokane when a wave threw them 20 feet from their motorboat. The public relations office at Geiger Field identified the dead as Private Charles Neidhardt, age 26, and his wife Betty Lorraine, 22. Private First Class Clarence O'Brien, 26, and his wife Geraldine, 30. Two men who confessed that they burglarized the Richland, Washington Bank of $2,500 were sentenced Saturday to penitentiary terms by the Federal District Court in Yakima. While announcement of VE Day in Europe is being held up until tomorrow, VE Day in the Pacific War Theater is definitely not in sight. The fight there is a tough one. It will cost many lives before it's won. But many men who might otherwise die can be saved by blood donations. You can help speed VE Day in the Pacific by donating a pint of your blood. For an appointment at the Red Cross Blood Donor Center in Portland, call Atwater, 8561. Atwater, 8561. Your pint of blood can save a fighting man's life. The weather forecast for Portland and vicinity continued fair and warm today and Tuesday. Highest temperature this afternoon, about 82. Remember, the Binion optometrists, who have served as friendly guardians of vision for more than 2.5 decades, bring you these daily news broadcasts. Tune in tomorrow at 12 noon for your Binion News with Lou Gillette reporting. Duncan McLeod speaking from KOIN Portland. Transcribed.